Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my residence in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Thanks for joining the show. We are viewer-supported stations, guys, so if you like what the stations are doing, I know both networks always use a little bit of cash, so if you can reach into your pocket and throw a few bucks towards the stations, I know they would much appreciate. Thanks to Steve Roberts today for producing my show, because I always forget to thank him at the end of the show, so I'm going to thank him today before the show starts. I got Mike Ahern with me in today, and we're gonna have a little chat about some of the chaos going on in Canada, but really it's just a reflection of chaos that's going on around the world right now. We're seeing the same agenda being played out wherever we look right now, and boy, we sure took a step forward to total chaos this week in Canada. Don't you think, Mike? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Good talking to you. It's good to be back on the show, actually. You know, chaos. Wow. Worldwide. Rebellion. Worldwide. Lots of people in the world standing up. I just took a brief look before the show started, and, you know, we talk about Sweden, Poland, Russia, Chile, Spain, America, Saudi, Turkey, and Iran battling off major problems going on in the world, and a lot of fight back from the, you know, and a lot of resistance from the general publics. You know, the Czech Republic. I looked down on Spain here just recently, total upheaval going on. China and Hong Kong, children fighting for their rights and no adults. But we'll get into that part of it on, you know, how we failed our kids. And when we look at Hong Kong and fighting against China, you've got a lot of children out there. We have children running from schools and landlocking areas of 15 and 16 years old trying to fight for their freedoms and democracy. Looked at a YouTube video the other night of a man from Hong Kong who was an elder, probably in his 70s, and he said, you know, we failed our children. And lately on social media, I've been saying the same thing. For the past 30 years, we've done absolutely nothing to defend the rights of our children, which this whole process that's going on in Canada right now and in America with, you know, the Democrats, you know, when we look back on everything that we do, we have really failed our children, and we've left them no opening door to any type of success or life in front of them. And in actual fact, they're fighting our battles. I have a 15-year-old daughter who's a conservative that has really big problems in school because of LGBTQ and socialist agreements that are with the education system that she does not agree with. She does not agree with socialism, which is being pushed in our country heavy. And this has been going on for a couple of decades now. And we're starting to see the effects of that, that, you know, she was saying in school the other day that she said, Dad, light socialism is being taught to us in school. I said, well, socialism is never the answer. Let me show you some things. And I showed her Venezuela. I showed her what's happening in Spain. I saw communism is seemingly attacking with socialism and becoming the speech of the world again. Big problems. You know, kids that are fighting battles, parents not stepping up. Barry, we see this in Canada. We put together movements. You've been part of them. I've been part of them. Many other people have been part of them. And we ask people to come out and stand and speak their voice, and nobody shows up. Nobody. And that's a sign of our times as Canadians. I believe I'm very disgusted with Canada, actually, to tell you the truth. And I find that we're probably one of the weakest societies, and we will not stand for anything. We just voted in another liberal government who has completely broken every single rule of government. And we get up against a guy in our conservative member who had the opportunity to take a country, and he could not get the job done.
Well, hey, Mike, this election, there was nothing legitimate about this election, in my opinion. We're talking about a government that's pretty well controlling this country. They're controlling the police. They're controlling the borders. They're controlling every aspect of our life right now. These tentacles are in so deep to say that they aren't controlling election candidates. And there wasn't massive amount of tampering done with this election. You'd have to have your head in the sand, because every single Canadian I've talked to in the last 3 or 4 months hates Trudeau and swore they'd never support him. And now we got him back in as a Liberal. But we also have the NDP with Jagmeet Singh, who had three weeks ago had a closed door meeting with Justin Trudeau. And you know, and I know, they've laid down exactly what's going to happen. You know, combine the two votes in Parliament and they can pretty well push through anything they want. So we really haven't improved the situation in Canada at all. And another 4 years of this Liberal government will destroy this country. I'm hoping we see another election in 6 months. I hope that something makes this happen again, because if this keeps going on, you know it and I know it, Mike, with what we see going on with Wexit right now, sure, that, you know, Wexit, I see it as a real emotional response from all of Western Canada, what just happened in this election, that the East has completely turned their back on the West. We see divides in this country like I've never seen before, ever. And really, if you think about it, and I've thought about this a lot over the last week here, if you wanted to take a page out of a globalist playbook, where they want to divide a society, how would you do that? Well, if you look what's gone on to Alberta here and what they've put up with in the last 4 years through Trudeau and Rachel Notley, how they completely shut down the energy sector, that Alberta is in ruins, you really make it easy for people to jump on a separation movement, because it's an emotional response. Albertans are devastated and the government's not listening to them. We really got to sit back and watch and look at this from all sides right now without jumping on any bandwagons. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. I can understand where Alberta's at right now. I can totally understand that. And Saskatchewan and Manitoba, because they're just taking it. But we really got to sit back and talk about this whole situation a bit, I think.
Well, to go back on where you started, the NDP was in a total demise of their existence in Ottawa. As a matter of fact, if Singh didn't pull off what he pulled off, the party wouldn't even have an existence in the House in our federal government. They were that close to losing their party status. So he jumped around like he had a big win, because he did have a big win. He was able to hold solidity in the office. Tom Mulcair on the CTV was very concerned with his numbers while this election was going through, to even think if he had a job in Ottawa at the end of that night. He's already made it very, very clear that they would stop Conservatives, Singh did, and he said that he would form a coalition, which I call a coup, which is illegal in this country, where two parties would gang up on one party in our House. Now, I hope that we're able to jump on some sort of legalities as this starts to transform over the next several months. Elections. You mentioned elections.
What's going to happen.
Yes. Now, you know, with Stephen Harper, in his first 8 years as a minority, his argument went out so strong. We had 7 elections in 8 years in Canada. We had 7 re-elections until he finally got the majority. So this is not uncommon for a minority government that has pulled so much risk on a country to have a very short term. I give the Liberal government about 6 months and probably a full election within 1 year. I don't think we're stuck with Justin Trudeau at all, as long as Andrew Scheer and his Conservative government are strong enough to fight that battle. I have my concerns about that. I'm not so sure that he's the strong enough candidate, but hopefully the party, generally a leader that loses in our country, generally stands down the night of the election. He did not do that. So let's see what happens within the party workings and see if the party, you know, decides that maybe it's better that he stand down. At one time, he was probably the best speaker in the House Canada ever had. But being a speaker of a House and being a leader of a party are two different, platforms altogether. He didn't show strength. He was very weak. And of course, he lost it due to mass immigration that went into the 905-416 area. And for the Americans listening, that would be Toronto. So I think that separation is not the answer. On a global level, our energy sector isn't strong enough to deal with the globe. And we turn into so many different things, policing, military, currencies, just on and on and on. I mean, I could mention 1,000 things here, but, you know, we're just not going to get to that point. And globally, including the U.S., is going to be very concerned on who they deal with. In an example, let's just say that Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba come up with their own currency. That's okay to have a currency for Canada, but does it hold credit in the world? And that's the biggest point that we're up against now. We'll get no seriousness. Nobody will want to deal with us. It's completely at unrest. Even the Americans, like a lot of people, Barry, we've talked about this before. Will the Americans come in and jump all over Canada and save us? No, they will not do that. And I'm not talking about the UN itself, but the United Nations agreement around the world. America would get attacked. England would go crazy. The Americans can't just come in and save us like that. They can't just jump in and say, okay, we're coming in there. We don't agree with what you're doing. 16 people sent a message down to Donald Trump, and we're coming in and we're invading your country. That is not going to happen. It's not going to happen here. It's never happened all over the world in any other country. And those who tried, it wasn't very good of a decision in the end. So Saudi would collapse us. All of our energy sectors would leave immediately. All of our oil companies would stop right away, leave the oil in the ground that they own. It's not enough worldwide to make a difference for them. Will there be structure to change? Yep, absolutely. Will they be able to survive? Oh, yeah, they would be. So we got, you know, acting on a knee-jerk reaction, you're never going to have it happen. There's another community speaking out about you know, Canada and its illegal governments and Queen Victoria of 1901, and we go back and forth. We've talked about this in the British North American Act, thinking that they're going to take over our country, which what the up in fears of the Americans obviously don't know, but it's called the de jure government. That itself will land your butt in jail. That's about all that's going to do, and probably cause you a lot of dysfunction in your life. So that won't happen. That's a, it's a myth, all right. But and I've been invited into their talks this afternoon. I don't think I'm going to say too much because I don't think they'd like what I had to say. And Barry, you were invited, and a couple of people also that were invited that totally don't agree with this. I think our solution is this. When we get into these types of extremes, because, you know, our seating and our electoral stand in the country that was put in place, I don't know exactly, but I'm going to say, let's just say 125 years ago, when there wasn't even a West, and the West developed. And of course, we got some seats, and there weren't very many people. And you know, I just think that what we need to do is the electoral problem that we have has to change. It's got to come out of that Quebec, Ontario, South ranking of holding so many seats. I think that if we took the federal government at hand and we could get our provincial governments on board with it to take this argument correctly, to Ottawa, and evening out those seats a little bit, because when the West votes, there's more people in Ontario than the whole West. So if Toronto and Montreal make the decision, we have to live with it, even though half the country doesn't agree. We talked about the East. The East went completely conservative in its provincial voting, yet we know that something went wrong there, because the whole East and the federal, and this was just a few months back, that the East went completely liberal, so completely red in our country. Yeah. So,
well, come on, guys, that ain't a red light. I don't know what is.
Well, it is a red flag, and did the ballots make it to where they were supposed to go? Probably highly doubtful. It doesn't make sense. So in this minority, I know the Senate has stepped up and made it a commitment here this week. I seen it actually on mainstream news, which was really shocking to me, because I really don't usually watch mainstream news, but I was sitting, but my wife does. So when I was sitting looking at something, I noticed that, you know, one of the ladies from our Senate had said that we would have to look at competence and all of the things that Justin Trudeau has gone and done. I mean, how many things has this guy done that's against our whole government's process? And still, like you said, everyone in this country does not like this government. yet it won a minority government. How did that happen? So, you know, we know that the Conservatives won the popular vote, but that doesn't mean anything. We don't have an electoral college. We don't have that. So many things have to change. Excuse me, I'm sick. I've had a cold all week. Many things have to change in our electoral process. And it's going to take the leaders of the provinces of the West to, you know, discuss this with their provinces and take it to the table and force the federal government, which we have the rights to do. The federal government in our country, and I don't know how it works in the U.S., but the federal government in our country cannot force a province to do anything. That's why we have our own electoral bodies. So when Donald Trump, say, makes an argument with California, it's a different argument than, say, Justin Trudeau saying, Alberta, you're going to shut down your oil sector. Our governments within our province are going to say, no, we're not shutting down anything. Although it's been very affected. In a separation side, solidity would be weak. We would never sustain it on a global market. Even the Americans wouldn't deal with us because our credit would be zero. It'd be like going bankrupt and going to a bank the next day and say, hey, I want to borrow $2,000. Sorry, can't help you. So, and that it's just about that easy of an explanation. So big changes have to be made. I know that Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba are very angry. I know this knee-jerk reaction from a general public. I'm glad that we have the uprising because at least we have people voicing now finally their opinion and saying that, hey, we got to get something done. What and how do we do that? Well, it leads up to our provincial leaders, and if they're willing to hold referendums within our own provinces and see how the people feel and how they speak, which we know in Alberta what will happen, we know in Saskatchewan and Manitoba what will happen, I think we're going to be able to have a voice to go to the federal government that we need to change this electoral process, make it more even. We know we don't have the populace that Toronto and Montreal have, but we're never going to get that populace. So, I believe that there's a better solution. Separation's not the answer. Quebec tried that, and 60% of people voted in to stay. A lot of Canadians went to Quebec and said, don't leave. It was a big uprising. It didn't take media. It didn't take government. It just took the people of Canada, went to Quebec and said, hey, man, you're part of the country. Please stay. And they did. So even the separatist Quebec, René Lévesque, at this point, looking at what on from separatism back in the 70s, would be probably rolling over in his grave. He'd probably be saying, hey, man, that's not what I meant. We just wanted to create the threat. So Quebec has that threat. When it wants something, it complains and it gets it. So we need to put ourselves into the same category as that. We had a government leader that left the Conservative Party for the right reasons and ran. And we wonder where at least his seats went, because we know, Barry, you know this, he had a strong, strong following all over the place, this guy. Not one seat. What happened to that? I voted for him.
Well, I know a lot of people did, and the fact that he didn't get his own riding has to speak volumes. I mean, everything that's going on in Canada right now, if this doesn't really wake Canadians up, I don't know what will, Mike, at this point. Because what we've seen go on here in the last week is we're in a dictatorship. If we think we have any kind of freedoms in this country right now, I would argue that point very, very strongly with you, because like you said, the Liberals got a minority government. And if you listen to what Canadians were saying prior to this election, there is no hope in the world that he should have gotten 10 seats, let alone a minority. Well, how many ballots came in that were from dead people, Mike? How many ballots came in from people offshore?
And 64,000 odd votes were cast from people who are not even alive. Now, there's got to be a law against that, because there's more protection of the people that are dead than alive. So,
we're not talking about all the other ballots that came in, Mike, and all the illegals that got cards sent to them. I mean, this is really going to come out in the next couple of weeks, exactly what went down in this election, because there's a lot of people looking into it, my friend.
If America,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If America was listening in at this point, which they are, and Europe are listening in, how do we get a populace that comes here that don't hold a citizenship, that have a voting card, they don't even hold a citizenship? Now, in our country, when we go to our voting spots where we vote, we have to provide a license. We have to prove that we're Canadian. That's what we have to prove. How did all of these votes, and I'm talking like a lot of votes, I'm talking maybe probably, and I'm going to estimate this, probably 2 million votes in the Toronto area of people that aren't even citizens of our country, how did they even get a voting card first? And when they went to submit their voting card, what kind of identification did they put up to the person at the polling station to prove that they even had a right to vote? Well, I'll tell you, the people running those ridings in those polling stations were the exact people that weren't checking for that. It's easy to check off a box, but it's you have corruptness within the voting poll station. So we have to take a look at that. We have to get very stringent. We're going to have a big uprising in Canada. I believe, there's a few things that we need to get rid of. We know that our federal mark of, and I don't want to cause any dissension anywhere, but, we have a policing of our federal side that's just as corrupt as our government itself. So, when we get into these worlds of people saying, we're going to be socialist in no time, we're already there. So we don't have to call it socialism. It's happening. I looked at a friend of mine talking to me from Fort Saskatchewan, Alberta today, that we have now over 1 million people in our country. Now, we don't have a lot of people here. So we have 1 million people in our country that are homeless. Alberta has the largest population of Canada for the working homeless. In other words, they don't make enough money to sustain the rents or the mortgages or anything of that nature. We had political debates on our televisions where this woman in Vancouver was saying, how do I buy a $4 million home? It's outrageous. We can't afford to do that. I make $60,000 a year. Justin Trudeau's answer was, well, we've come up with a new plan that makes it easier for you to buy a home and having different breaks on an $800,000 mortgage. Well, at $60,000 a year, that's still impossible. So, of course, this woman felt thrown under the bus. A black lady, very nice lady, runs a very nice business, very nice person, and basically got an answer of, sorry, you're out of luck. So then Justin Trudeau, I believe it's Bill 34, says now in Canada, we cannot wear any type of religious statement. Now, we have a lot of migration in our country of populists from all over the world that believe in Canada and stand by Canada and work by our laws and have the freedom of expression and have the freedom of religion. Now he's saying that you can't wear a cross if you're a Catholic. The Hindu community has to take off its turban because it's a political statement. He's basically backtracking on every single thing he said. And yes, socialism is coming. His favorite government, China. Communist. Unbelievable. Yeah, well, we didn't rise to the occasion, Barry.
I'm disappointed in Canada too, but in the same mouthful, like I said, I believe a lot of this was rigged. And I actually believe that if the true vote was taken in Canada without any kind of interference, we'd have seen a different result from this election. But to say that this wasn't rigged, that they're controlling the machines, these are all electronic, Mike. I mean, who's doing the check-in on the check-in? Who's watching the fox that's watching the hen house that's watching the fox? Yes. It's ridiculous what's going on in this country right now. And,
well, that's exactly what
I said. It's like people said that this was – I heard people talking about this a week before the election, and, I can't say a name, but, he said, Barry, you watch. They're going to get in with a minority. Even though the country hates this guy, he's still going to get in with a minority. Well, folks, we're under control. And it's ridiculous. It really is. Where we go from now, Mike, that's a million-dollar question. I can understand how the West feels. I can understand right now Westerners, when we try and anybody tries to talk to them about trying to keep this country together, they're going to tell them to take a hike because they are literally at the breaking point. Well, Why aren't they at the breaking point? Because the government has absolutely shut down the economy in the West, and they have forced this upon the people. Again, I come back to the playbook, and it's called the United Nations Global Agenda, and it really kind of falls into a lot of what they want to do right now. It's really kind of in front of our faces right now, as far as I'm concerned. I've thought about this a lot this week, Mike, because I'm listening to a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions. You know, I got people right now that are just saying that the Brexit's the only way to go. We got to do this for the sake of the country. I'm really kind of sitting back and taking it all in right now. It's a really kind of a volatile conversation to even have with some people right now at this point. You see that, and I see that.
Yeah, we see that. Barry, you and I in this country have a very strong presence with a few very slight amount of other people in this country that have a very strong on social media side, on Twitter and Facebook, like anybody else, on other social platforms as well, in our radio stations and who we work for and what we do. I sort of float around because, it's hard to get your voice out when you're on a direct show that maybe might be targeted. So it's always nice to come on, of course, with you guys and Steve. I always enjoy that. It's one of my favorite networks to come on as far as, podcast radio, because it allows us to have a solid voice. And again, with Steve Roberts, we've become friends and talk a lot. And of course, Steve, I want to thank you too for putting up with our nonsense and staying quiet out there and producing our show across Europe and getting our voice out there. So, we love Steve for doing that because he puts us up against it. But getting back to the discussion that we're having, when we have a situation when the world is fighting against socialism and the kids are standing up, and here we have a country that still isn't doing anything. We just are so passive and so nice. Like even comedians on the Netflix radio have jokes about Canadians that, we're so nice that, we come up to Canada and Americans visit and they come hunting and they come visiting and we accept their currency and how great of a people we are. We're just so bloody nice. Yet, we can take a quarter in a toll booth and refused, and they say, "Hey, man, your quarter didn't make it." So we've got to transfer money at banks. We can't bring our currency to America. They don't recognize it. We've got to do different things. So because we have that status in the world, we're a very easy takeover. And our population of density in the size of our country is very tiny. We hold about the same amount of people as probably somewhere like Los Angeles or Philadelphia or something. We're like 36 or 37 million people. Don't count me on those numbers because I forget what's in LA and I forget what some of Steve and I have talked about this before and some cities that have a bigger population than our whole country. And so when we're in something like that, it's hard to rally people together to get to one point because sometimes you have to travel like 3,000 kilometers to show up for an hour somewhere. And of course, everything here is so very expensive. So, it's hard to fly places. Barry, you and I have been invited how many times to Ottawa? We can't just throw $3,000, $4,000 out on the table to go have a stand-in for a day in Ottawa. It's kind of hard to get that together, but we can do it on legislation grounds. And I think that Canadians are just about ready. As far as revolution, people talking revolution, in America, if you had a revolution, I know a whole pile of my friends down there from working down in certain industries in the U.S. I mean, they jump up to the occasion and grab their AK-47 or their or something and some automatic weapon and defend itself if something like this was happening in any community in the U.S. You've always got somebody who will defend. Up in Canada, we have guns, we have long rifles, and we have semi-automatic weapons, and we have a big handgun problem, and we're supposed to report when we move a handgun. That's how stringent our laws are. You're supposed to phone, our federal policing. You're supposed to move it from there to, say, a gun range, and then you're supposed to go back home, and when you get it locked up, you're supposed to report that you're back at home with your handgun. We have a massive handgun problem here, and every time – and the U.S. can hear this, and Europe not so much because handguns aren't really – There's a problem, but you're not supposed to have them at all. Many countries in America, you're not, or in Europe, you're not even allowed to have a gun. So it's really hard to defend yourself. But in the U.S., people step up to the plate. It's funny how a neighbor that is so trusted, and we've been put on the terrorist watch, by the way, and that, when did that happen, Barry? A year or two ago, I think it was. Canada's on America's terrorist watch. So Americans listening and Europeans listening saying, what? Yep, no, that's a fact. And
they consider us a terrorist threat.
Well, and we borrow two unbordered, open borders to Canada. We've been so trusted. Let's not forget our friends in Russia who do not have a wall. We can cross a river and walk right into Siberia and walk right across Russia and walk right into their country. Canadians could walk across a border at any given time. We don't do that because we're trusted. We're very nice people. We're very trusted people. And we love that trust, but our trust is wearing thin. And I don't want something happening where, you know, we have such a problem with socialism that America's lining their borders and Russia's lining our borders, and we're looking down the pipes of two countries that are saying, hey, you're not coming here. Already, we have legalization of marijuana in Canada. So you walk in the door and you plunk in your credit card or your whatever card you have or your bank card or whatever, and you go in and buy some marijuana. Now you drive down to the border and you want to cross the border. Now you know you can't cross the border with illegal drugs in the States. Of course you wouldn't. But when you pull up, they turn you around because they know now that you've been to a place of marijuana, and we're getting refused as Canadians to cross the border into the United States. I have never seen that happen before. You come down with your passport, you cross the border, and they say, have a good day. That is not happening anymore. Just so America knows, we can't even get there. We're not even allowed to come there because your customs is saying, nope, sorry, man, we can't let you in. So it's become a big problem.
I'll have to look into it. I wasn't aware of that. But I do know that you know them legalizing and taking control of the cannabis industry, and I don't call it marijuana because I hate that word. Yeah. It was never called marijuana prior to 1939. It's always been cannabis. But, of course, that name was brought along to demonize the plant, and it did it very well. What's happening in Canada right now is the cannabis laws, and I don't know if a lot of people out there are aware of just what's happened, but we now have 47 laws in Canada that can land you in jail, as opposed to 7 laws prior to the legalization of cannabis, that if you have cannabis in your possession and it isn't in a government-approved sealed container that tells the officer that's looking at it that you paid your taxes on this cannabis, you can get charged. You can get charged on the spot. So what's happening in Canada is the government wants to completely control the cannabis industry. And then you look into the people that have lobbied the government, the people that are involved, people like the Blackburn family. Then you look at their involvement, how many licenses they have in place, what facilities they're running. And it's just a giant, giant scam to take millions of dollars out of people's pockets. We have laws now that are absolutely barbaric. And everybody's going, yeah, Justin Trudeau. Well, that's how he got elected in 2016 because of this promise. But he didn't tell everybody about what's going to come along with this legalization. Canadians are so stupid, Mike. They really are.
Well, we're very passive, and we like to believe that our government's still taking care of us. And when you look at our cannabis, some people have come up with going to have it from the black market. They have taken black market weed, I call it. And they take government cannabis, and the pesticides and the cancerous products within our cannabis here in Canada are worse than smoking cigarettes. So how have they targeted us?
Well, if you're buying cannabis from a government distribution agent, you're guaranteed that it's being grown with chemicals. I mean, the only way that you get the real, you know, natural cannabis is to grow it from a seed and grow it organically, because they're all being exposed to high levels of contaminants, man. We know that. We know that glyphosate is running wild in our society, and that cannabis is getting spiked with fentanyl left, right, and center, and people are dying from it. And, of course, mainstream media jumps on that to demonize cannabis. But it's not the cannabis, man. It's what they're doing to it. I mean, fentanyl is just going crazy in our country. 987 people died in British Columbia last year from fentanyl overdoses, Mike. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, I am. Actually, the numbers went up from 4,000 people in 2017, and there was 9,000 people died of fentanyl in 2018. So our spike is getting worse. It's not getting any better. And who brings in this fentanyl? China. So yeah, we already know that. The governments can tell you it's China that brings it. So here we have a federal government that knows that that's happening. We have a federal policing that knows even where it comes from. Yet these people sell drugs to kill people on the streets, and our government doesn't go after the people that are putting it onto the street. They know where it is. Don't tell me you don't know who's doing it or how you can get to the bottom of it. I hear all the time is, well, we're investigating. You know who does it. Get in there and stop it. Nope, they don't stop it.
You know, and I know that last year in Toronto, a house was raided in Mississauga. The house that the Danforth shooter, it was 2 years ago, excuse me. The house the Danforth shooter was staying in, his cousin, in the basement of that house, and this is a fact, they found 42 kilograms of carfentanil. Yes. Carfentanil is about 7,000 times stronger than fentanyl. They discovered enough carfentanil in one house in Toronto to kill everybody in Canada eight times over, Mike. Eight times over. So what was the intention? Think about that for a second. The mechanism that could be unleashed on society, if that's in one house in Toronto, is there more in this country that we don't know about? That's a very, very serious question that people should be asking themselves. What were the intentions of somebody to have that much fentanyl in their possession, who actually just heard the story, this is truth because I looked into it, was an immigrant to Canada 3 years ago. So yes, what's going on, Mike?
Well, you know what? And all we have to do with that, it's very simple, is if they put it into any air duct system, let's say in a high-rise tower, most people are not going to make it outside of that high-rise tower. That's a terrorist attack. Now, we can go on beyond conspiracy, because every time people like you and I talk, Barry, we're shunned because we're conspiracy theorists. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. We're not conspiracy theorists. The facts are the facts. And if you're anywhere in life, we're not all goody-two-shoes people all of our life. And somewhere in the realm of this, we know different. So, you know, and anyone does. So we these illicit drugs that are happening, I think Rona Ambrose, the last interim conservative member on the radio, on the television, was talking because someone had a son or a daughter, I can't remember, that had passed from, you know, fentanyl use. And they know that this is such an irregular stamped pill because we don't know really what's in it. So, you know, the regular user is out there thinking that they've bought some drugs, that they're going to be okay, and moments later, they're not with us. They've expired. So, you know, we also talk about our needle exchange and our drug use problems here. You know, we're not fighting the war on drugs. We're giving them a place to do it. A lot of businesses don't have people coming there because what are they going to do? Bring their kids down to that business and say, oh, that's okay, honey. That's where people do drugs. So our system is broken.
That's your tax dollars. That's your tax dollars at work, Mike. Don't you love it?
Working for you. Absolutely.
I mean, the government just went to court again with Rebel Media. You know, Rebel Media is a totally accredited radio or a media outlet in Canada. And of course, before the debates, they were going to keep Rebel Media out of the debates. And Rebel Media went and got, along with True North, got injunctions at the last minute so they could question the leaders at the debates. Now, Justin Trudeau is taking five lawyers at our taxpayer dime to try and get this injunction overturned. In other words, what Justin Trudeau is trying to do is completely shut down the Rebel from ever, ever questioning him again, because the questions put forward put him on the spot. Well, folks, this is communist dictatorship at its finest. This is just beyond belief that this is going on in Canada and Canadians aren't screaming about it. Mike, are they all asleep?
No, I think they're afraid. I just think they're afraid. And because they're so passive, you know, Canadians are the biggest people that'll say, ah, don't worry about it. Just don't think about it. Don't approach it and it'll go away. And, you know, this one's not going away. That's the problem we have.
Well, the government's using your tax dollars to shut down your free speech, folks. And you're okay with that?
Well, apparently they are. And you know what? It's amazing, just in this small populace of a population that we have, You know, we have a lot of people. I know a friend of ours, Ronnie Cameron. We've had him on the show before when you were away, Barry. And, you know, we were talking, and Ronnie went around in Toronto, and he spread the video. I'm sure you've seen it a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago. And he asked a bunch of people in Toronto. And here's how it goes. Asked people in Toronto, do you know who Andrew Scheer is? Now, I think he asked like 100 people on his video when it was spliced in. Everyone said, nope, I have no idea who you're talking about. One girl said, yeah, I heard his name. Is he the government or something? Is he the guy in charge of Canada? They didn't even know who the leader of a party is. Because in Canada, we don't talk about two things. We never talk about politics. Actually, when you talk to people about politics, they go, hey, man, I don't talk about politics. They're all full of crap. That's your answer. So then we talk about maybe a religious community that's causing a problem coming into our country. Well, we have freedom of religion, and we're not even really a country that talks about that. We go, no, I don't talk religion and politics, man. So to get a collective together and say, hey, we have a religious political problem. It's really hard to get people to get involved. Now, we know from the stats that the most people ever should have voted this time. And I believe I heard the other day that less people voted in Canada than 2015 when Trudeau actually got in. Did you hear that, Barry?
9 million Canadians never cast a vote.
9 million of 24 million voters.
Well, no, 30. Our population in Canada now is approximately 36 million. So 9 million of those people did not cast a vote.
Right, well, but 36 million don't vote because there's children. So it's only 24 million voters in Canada who are actually eligible
adult,
to vote.
If you factor in the adult population, you're right.
Half of this country still did not vote. Half the country. Those numbers are staggering. They're staggering numbers. I just cannot believe that through all the publication of all the people that we talked to that did not like this Liberal government of Justin Trudeau, they still didn't get off their butt and go down to the polling station, even though they had early polling where you could go for 5 or 6 days prior to the vote. People still didn't take the 15 minutes to go out and put their name to something. So what happened to those votes? Well, if dead people voted, I guarantee you that those people that did not vote were somehow corrupted and have voted. So I'm going to look a couple of years. I didn't vote, you know, just because I'm in transportation and we worked in the oil industry and we had to vote in our riding. And of course, then couldn't get back to my hometown to vote, which is what we were wanting to change. We just wanted to be able to vote anywhere. As long as we brought in a license to say, this is who we are. This is where I live. Punch it up on the computer. Yep, that's you. Okay, this is me. I'm going to vote. We shouldn't have to stop working in the oil sector or the energy sector somewhere, travel 7 or 8 hours back to our home to cast a vote, to be back on time, to get back up 7 or 8 hours again to go back to work. So these things just don't make sense. And then, of course, the Liberals come out and say, you know, they were trying to check this. They were saying they're going to check this electoral process. Now he's saying we're just going to keep it the same. Well, I guess he did, because his corrupt ways, he could target an area, put all these illegal people that come into our country, stick them in that neighborhood, give them a voting card. And who else are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for the prime minister that allows them to even stay in this country without even being vetted. We don't know who they are. They don't know where they're coming. We have guys crossing the border from the U.S. One fella that got Canadian citizenship, had a vibrant business in Minnesota, no threat from anybody in America, not at all. We have an agreement that's not allowed to happen. He sells every single thing he owns in Minnesota, walks over the border, and gets political asylum because he feels threatened in America. How ridiculous is that?
Well, it's beyond ridiculous, Mike. If we look at the numbers that come into Canada every year through illegal immigration and through the foreign workers program, which is just a stepping stone to get citizenship in Canada, 550,000 foreign workers were brought into Canada last year, and Canadians are out of work. How come? How come the LNG project here up in Kitimat, one company's putting in a 7,000-man camp, and 4,000 of those people are going to be foreign workers? I just found this out, and I'm looking into this. Well, what's going on, folks? Why are they not hiring Albertans or people on the East Coast that are devastated right now?
How about people in the north of BC that aren't working either?
Everywhere. There's people out of work everywhere in Canada, and these companies are bringing in foreign workers. Well, that's a very, very serious question. Why is this happening? Why are they undermining
Because Lavalin, who you just mentioned, SNC-Lavalin, is the one that's been doing all this corrupt doings and asked for forgiveness through our prime minister, and then he tampered with our governor general and our whole system, and then he even gets in trouble corrupting that. He gets in trouble correcting that in that connection with trying to involve himself with changing our justice system based on SNC-Lavalin. And Lavalin, in this big build that's happening, Barry, just down the road from your house, I mean, what is it, 20 kilometers away? I'm not sure, not very far. So, I don't know, 15 miles, 20 miles from Kitimat to get in, maybe a little longer, I'm not sure, from Prince Rupert.
Well, 40 miles to Kitimat. 40 miles to Kitimat from my house.
Okay, 40 miles. So right in your backyard, and you're working away, doing your thing, working away, and didn't even know this was being built. That's how they hide it.
Yeah, this information isn't coming out to the public. It's like, what is going on here, and why is this going on? And a lot of people better start asking some questions. It really, when I found this out this week, and it came from a very reliable source, I'm looking into it to make sure it's absolutely true. But, you know, I believe that the government has a subsidy program in place where if you hire a foreign worker, and I'm going to check to make sure this is correct, but my understanding is that the company gets a $15,000 bonus for hiring a foreign worker. And if that was true, now I'm not going to say, folks, I really got to make sure that I put out information that's factual. But this was also brought to my attention this week. So I'm going to look into this a little bit, Mike. The Canadians never hear about this. It's just like Canadians will never hear. We have all this climate hysteria going on in our government right now. Well, what a joke, man. This is a fact, folks, that 50,000 scientists have wrote letters to the United Nations absolutely debunking the climate hysteria. And out of those 50,000 scientists, I was reading a report on this, 19,000 might have PhDs. So we're looking at very, very intelligent people addressing the United Nations, calling out this climate hysteria, but not a word of that is ever discussed on mainstream media. It just goes to show you how much they're ramping up this agenda and how they're keeping information back from the public and what they're doing to our children right now. We've got kids running around that they're in despair. Suicide. They're being told that the world's not going to last another 12 years. Their future is done. And they're believing this, and the government's supporting it. Greta Thunberg allowed to come in and directly third-party interfere with our election a week before we go to the polls. Boy, I'll tell you, it's gone really far, Mike.
Well, Sweden's fighting back right now and taking control of its country again.
I heard they're a mass deportation program. And this isn't being talked about.
It's definitely happening, and it's actually started happening this week. They're actually deporting. And then we have England with this second generation Hindu lady on their home security. Now they've turned England now. The UK is back to a two-tier immigration system, and that started just in the last couple of weeks or months. I'm not sure on the dates, so I just read about it. I just got made informed of it actually last night. And, of course, I look at that because I'm dual citizen. I'm a Canadian. I have, citizenship in Ireland because my mother was born in Ireland, so I have a passport for Ireland. And, if Canada doesn't group up, my cousins are saying get over to Northern Ireland, which would – really work with the people's, internet radio because, I'd be able to broadcast right there. But
I can't run away, Mike, because my kids are here.
No, I don't want to run away because my children are here too, and my family is here too, and I don't want to leave my country because I love my country. But we have to stay here, Barry. We cannot leave because who else would be fighting? We only have maybe, and I'm going to say, 10 people across the country that actually have the cronies to stand up and speak about it. The rest of them are too afraid even to speak. So, you know, that's a big thing. I mean, like, you know, to some Americans, it might sound funny that there's only five of us or six of us that actually speak.
I think the number's a little higher than that, Mike, but compared
maybe
to
maybe 20 now, but not a lot. Yeah,
well, there's a lot of people that are standing up, and I see more standing up all the time, which is encouraging. And yeah, but compared to our population, very, very few people are actually taking a stance.
And not many people are on the radio or, say, live Facebook. So when we look at that, other than the Rebel Media, we have the Rebel Media, we have Jordan Peterson, we have, you know, some people. But as we go down the numbers of 36 million, we're so very few. So, you know, and so far nothing's happened to us, but who knows, right?
We got about 5 minutes left here, Mike. Let's just switch gears for a second here and talk about California.
An hour already.
Okay. No, I know it goes by quick. But let's switch gears and talk about California just for a couple minutes, because what I'm seeing down right there right now is I was looking at the reports this morning on what they're expecting for winds here in the next 24 hours. And, boy, are we ever seeing a scenario for an absolute perfect storm.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. I don't know if you've been watching it, but
I've been watching it.
Yeah. Oh man, I tell you, my hearts go out to the people in California right now, because this really has the potential to blow up, based on the wind forecast I'm seeing for the next 24 to 36 hours.
And you got the tick fires going on too. I'm following one of the California newspapers that I signed up with there the other day, and they're sending me notifications by the hour. It's out of control. And, you know, what happened there. We had so many fires in Canada all of a sudden. I mean, we've had fires across our country. Of course we do. There's lots of forestry. But the fires were just overbearing. So, you know, it seemed like every 10 minutes, and even people of the filtration systems of furnaces, and I know we don't have much time, actually built more filters because of the upcoming fires. How do they know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? And then what happened in Canada this year? We didn't have any fires.
Yeah, British Columbia this year. You know, last year we had massive fires all over British Columbia. This year, nothing.
Yeah, because we caught up with the Liberal government who were setting fires, and they stopped setting fires.
Well, it's pretty odd that we had a fire season like we did, because actually the last 3 years in British Columbia have been terrible years for fire, and this year there was nothing. But not going to be good for the morale pickers next year.
Have we got Shake and Wake Radio on with us today as well, or no?
Who?
Have we got Shake and Wake Radio with Annie on with us today, or no?
Oh, yeah, they're picking up our stream right now, and I'm in their chat room talking to people once in a while.
That's my favorite girl down there in Florida. Yeah, we love Annie. So hello, Annie, in case you're listening. So yeah.
Well, Annie knows we all love her, and
we love Annie. We do so.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have some interesting times coming up here in the next little while in Canada. There's a lot of different scenarios that could unfold on us, and where it's all going, I'm not exactly sure, but I think most people would agree that we're in for some pretty turbulent times in this country coming up.
Yes, sir.
And I hope that it works out for the best, but. I know that we're dealing with psychopaths. We're dealing with an evil entity that's just not in Canada, but it's around the world. And we see the world rising against this right now. The more we rise, the more they're going to push back. I hope that this all works out well for the human race in the near future, Mike. But I know they have some pretty cool toys put away for this particular time in history. And something I think about a lot is what they're going to do when society gets to a point where we're all standing up. Interesting times, and that's a discussion for another day.
Fun times to live in, yes. Yes, fun times to live in, for sure. Interesting, for sure.
Well, there's going to be a roundtable tonight. I might pop in, but I'm probably not going to be popular with some of the things that I have to say, because
should pop into that discussion, Barry. I think we should be there. We're all invited, so I think we should go. And I just like to say at the end, you know, before we go, because I know you're minutes away, and Steve will start being going like, guys, you're 2 minutes away, and you never shut up, you guys. But and Steve, we appreciate it. And Steve, you know, we'll be in touch, of course, because we always are. And of course, Barry, you and I will talk very shortly. I'm sure we do a lot. And I'll be listening into your show here with Roger. And I just want to say thanks for having me on. Thanks for including me in the discussion, because it's really important to me. I love this radio network, and it seems that we get out to the right places. And I always enjoy coming on. So I'm always available anytime if you need a filler.
Thanks, Mike. And we're going to take a break here for about 3 minutes, and I'll have Roger Landry coming in for the next hour, and we'll see where that conversation goes. Hang on to your hats.
That should be fun.
Well, welcome back to the second hour, guys, and enjoyed that conversation. I have the Duracell Bunny in with me. I mean, Roger Landry in with me today. you know what? I always enjoy my conversations with Roger. I've known him for many years. And now that the political charade is over in Canada and we've elected our next dictator, I wanted to get Roger in today and talk about a little bit of the madness that's going on south of the border here. As I see a lot of stuff going on down there that's pretty crazy, Roger, and I can't really get my head wrapped around all of it. So maybe you could help me out today. When is Hillary Clinton going to get elected? Yeah, okay, let's get her in for president. When's she going to be arrested?
Yeah, well, what you may have heard, and most people it probably went right over their heads, and it shouldn't have, because in the last 48 hours, we have had several announcements, one which included the information that the Justice Department is now looking into criminal wrongdoings in the Trump, you know, the CIA, the FBI, and all of these people looking into the Trump campaign and all of the stuff that it precipitated. So basically, it has gone from an inquiry, all right, from the Department of Justice to a criminal case, which means that there are going to be some convictions handed down, and we're not talking about Trump. Now, what you people need to understand, everybody that's listening, is the significance of this, okay? What you are seeing in the United States right now is a lot of huff. It is a huge smokescreen. It is huge. And it is meant to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to distract us from what we were just talking about. Okay? We're talking about Brennan and Clapper. We're talking about these people more than likely being brought up on charges that may extend all the way up to and including sedition and treason. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the breaking open by the Attorney General of a case against those who tried to overturn a duly elected president. What we are seeing right now is what we have been talking about for a year and a half, and everybody out there that's peeled away has said, I just can't wait any longer. This is just a bunch of crap. I need to explain something else to you. If you understood even a tenth of how many people are affected or were afflicted by the actions since a year before the election in 2016 all the way up until today, to think that none of this includes sedition or treason, you're an idiot. Of course it does. Mm-hmm. It does, and now we've got an attorney general and a couple of federal judges which are appointed and given all kinds of power to declassify. And now you've got the likes of ex-FBI directors, ex-CIA directors, and I can go on. These people are lawyering up. So I'm going to tell you that what you're seeing in this country is going to come to a crescendo within the next 2 to 3 months. And if there aren't mass arrests, there just may be some violence in the streets in this country.
Well, Roger, remember we had a conversation, I think it was about 3 months ago.
Yep.
And I said exactly what you're saying right now. Yep. But you said, Barry, you're just a little bit off on your timing.
Yep.
And we both agreed that we saw this coming.
Yep.
And now we're really starting to see it unfold. And boy, I'll tell you, the implications, Roger, are mind-boggling of what this is going to do, what this is going to do to America, this is going to turn it upside down.
It's not going to be, when you think of a revolution or you think of a civil war, you think of something that goes on. It carries on forever, and it involves local communities. It involves whole states, whole territories. What we're talking about here is going to be a group of liberals who have perpetrated all of these lies. Remember, for the last 3 years, they had proof of Russian collusion. They didn't say, we may be able to prove it. They said, we have proof. Okay? So everything that has been used to conduct in some sort of a legal fashion, at least to what we the people are seeing, some sort of a legal fashion, all of this has turned out to be for naught. So what you have right now is a liberal faction in this country that has gone so far extremely left that they cannot help themselves anymore. They have to do impeachment. They absolutely have to, because if they don't, their credibility, any that they might still have, which isn't very much, is going to die away. Now, let's talk about the upcoming election, okay? Anybody who doesn't really understand what's going on, let me give you a real quick synopsis. The longer this impeachment stuff goes on, the bigger the margin Trump is going to win by. That's not a joke. That's a fact. So when we start talking about revolution, when we start talking about civil war, it's not going to be the conservatives that are going to step up and do this. It's going to be these Antifa. It's going to be these extreme left-wing idiots who don't understand the makeup of the American society, and I'm going to educate them right now, so I hope they're listening. There are between 350 and a half a billion guns in private hands in the United States. Between 350 and 500 million guns in private hands in the United States, of which well in excess of 85%, some say as much as 95% of those guns belong to conservatives. Not the liberal idiots that are destroying this country. They belong to conservatives. So if there is an uprising in this country, it ain't going to last very long, and it's going to be awfully one-sided, and it'll be the worst day in American history. Now, do I think this is going to happen? I would give you right now about a 10% chance, about a 10% chance. This is America, and we do try to settle things within our own boundaries without violence. This is how we have done things, but not forever. I mean, you must consider the Civil War. You must consider other things. But at the same time, to avoid actual riots in the streets where people are shooting each other, this is something this government will do, whether they are left or right. So if we see an uprising in this country, and again, 10% or less at this point, but it is definitely something that could happen. It's going to be over very quickly, and it's going to be substantial. And what you are going to see is an America that will never be the same again, ever.
Kind of interesting times, aren't they? It's just really when I sit back and look at it all, boy, it seems to be coming to a head right now, Roger.
But what is it and why? And most people don't. Most people don't understand this. What is it and why? Why at this point in history? Why, if the United States has been the most benevolent country in the history of this planet, helping everybody across the planet, why is America targeted? We're standing here. Well, I'm standing. Most of you are probably sitting. But we're discussing what's going on in this country. We're discussing what's going on in this country. Let's take a look all around us, okay? Barry, do you remember me talking about vaccines? Do you remember me talking about GMOs? Do you remember me talking about the fluoride in our water? Do you remember me talking about, now let's go
Never.
Back. You just go back to those conversations when I said, you do not start a war against a population with a pistol. You use a pistol, a rifle, a machine gun, a tank, an aircraft carrier, a battleship, and I kept going. Okay, if you need to take down the biggest cowboy on the planet in order to institute a global governance, because right now the biggest thing in the way of world global governance is the United States of America and our cowboy spirit. Okay, so what would you do? Would you give them vaccines that are sterilizing us? 5 years ago, the United States had almost a half a million, 500,000 it approached. One report said 350,000. Another report said 480,000. Birth deficit in the United States. That was 5 years ago. Okay, we're taking more vaccines today, we're eating more GMOs today, we're drinking more fluoride today, and more aluminum and nanosized particles is falling from the sky. We are the most chronically ill society ever to have existed on this planet. I don't lie, and I don't make things up. Today, the United States, which spends 5 to 10 times more than any other country on health care, is the most chronically ill nation on the planet. Do you think that's an accident? This has been happening for 20 years, and nobody has been able to stop it. Do you think this is an accident? And now all of a sudden, politics are on their head. And it's not just the United States. Same thing is happening in England. Same thing is happening in France. Same thing is happening in Italy. Same thing is happening, and I could keep going. We're talking about America because this is our front yard and our backyard. And my friend, who I'm doing his show today, Barry, up in Canada, things ain't all so sweet for them either. And if crap happens down here, it won't be but a matter of days until it spills over the border. We are looking at a global situation. The reason why we're talking about America today is because we are the preeminent nation on the planet. If it happens here, listen to me, it can and already is happening a lot of other places, you just ain't seeing it. Check out tomorrow, okay? What's happening in Europe? Check it out. Check out Italy, okay? Check out Libya. What's happening in Libya right now? Check out
Chile.
All this stuff is coming to a head.
Yeah, Chile, Spain, Venezuela.
Yep.
Doesn't matter where you look right now, Roger. We see it rising.
There is more upheaval on this planet right now than in any point in history that I can remember. And people say, what about World War One and World War Two? No. I would tell you that in skirmishes that have not been called wars, okay, how many people do you think have died in the Middle East since all of this started? If I said 3 to 5 million, would you believe that? Because it's true. But what if I told you that since the end of World War Two, the United States and its extra national military actions, meaning things done outside the borders of the United States, are responsible for between 35 and 40 million deaths across the planet since the end of World War II. Now, is the United States the only culprit? No, because we do this in conjunction with our partners like NATO, okay? We are sitting on a powder keg. And when I say we, I'm not talking about Canada. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about humanity. Anybody who has done some serious research into what we're seeing can tell you with 100% assurity and accuracy that this didn't start yesterday. It didn't start last week. It didn't start last month. It didn't start last year. It didn't start over the last decade. It didn't start over the last generation. And I can tell you this, it didn't start over the last century. What we are looking at is the culmination of an elitist plan that's over 240 years old. Okay.
Hold on. I'm going to answer a phone call here. Roger, keep talking, please.
Okay. But it's the truth. If you stop and consider that these elitists do not think short term, these people think in generations and centuries. But you ask why? Because when you need to shift an entire society or an entire race or the entire race, it's like an aircraft carrier or a huge ocean liner. Try doing a 90-degree turn in an ocean liner or an aircraft carrier. Ain't about to happen. It ain't going to happen. You want to take a right-hand turn, a 90-degree turn, it's going to take you about a mile of ocean, which isn't very much for an aircraft carrier. They're pretty darn big, okay? You have to take that ship and nudge it over until you've made your turn. not only is it the size, but what about all of the critical stuff on that ship? What about all the airplanes? What about so on and so forth? So, again, another reason why you can't. All of this applies to the elitist treatment of their minions. You cannot change a burgeoning thought in humanity by saying stop. You've got to put something in its path that will deflect it just enough so that over time it doesn't end up where it was intended to end up. Here we are. This is this right here. Where we are right now is about, I'd say, 90 to 95% completion of their plan. What would be the completion of their plan? Okay. The completion of their plan would be World War III. The completion of their plan would be exactly what the Georgia Guidestones say. Keep the population of the planet under 500 million in harmony with nature. Okay. Let me explain something to you. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet, so 7 billion got to go. Now, the first thing you do is you take the strength away from those who may be able to stand up against you. You literally cause them to implode from within. What's happening in the United States? What's happening in England? What's happening in Germany? What's happening in Italy? And we can go over this again. I will probably have reasons to say the exact same thing again. You take the nations that can do something, and you do everything you can to make sure that they can't do something. And what is the biggest cowboy on the planet? Here we go. We're back full circle. It is the American public. Again, we have 500 million as many guns in private hands in this country. And we have never seen more politicians, more tyrants trying to take them away from us because they know in order for this plan to go in full swing, Americans have to give up their guns. Barry, it ain't going to happen. That's when you will see shooting in the street, when they come for our guns.
Well, they're coming, Roger. You know it, and I know it.
I don't think they're going to, and I think Trump's going to get reelected, and I think, just like you're seeing over in Greece, just like you're seeing over in Italy, just like, and I told you I'd be able to say these again, you are seeing the average person standing up and saying, this is bull. And again, if that's happening in Great Britain, which it is, if that's happening in Italy, which it is, if that's happening, and I could go on, and they hardly have any guns. In most of those countries, private citizens aren't allowed to own guns. In America, the American conservative who will defend his country and what he believes should be his country has more guns than any two standing armies combined on the planet. Do you or anybody in the audience wonder why we're the most vaccinated, the most GMO'd, the most fluoridated, the most drugged, the most GMO'd? And I could go on. Why is America the focal point on everything that will destroy a society? I just told you, and I'm not wrong. I'm not even close to wrong.
Well, I agree with you, Roger. I mean, what we see going on right now in America is an accumulation of multiple attacks on the human body, mind, and soul that have been put in place over the last 30, 40 years where I've seen them really ramp it up. That what we see going on right now, Roger, you know and I know, was thought about and discussed and planned 40, 50 years ago in think tanks by very evil people, and they've gotten society exactly where they want it right now. We are such a sick society that people can't focus on the real entity because they're dealing with all the problems they have in their lives, and it's just ramping up. What a distraction, buddy.
What we see right now, I would consider to be, although I wouldn't consider it to be total saving grace, I would consider it to be an absolute move in the absolute right direction. And that is Trump okay, smiling, and I'm not a Trump butt buddy, believe me, I'm not, but he is the president right now, and until he does something that's worth impeaching him is basically trying to overthrow the government. So what we are seeing is a coup, an active coup in America. This is the first time in the history of this country that we have seen an active coup. I'm not telling you it hasn't happened before. It has just never been so blatantly obvious to all of society. And if all of this happens, all of this, what we're talking about right now, if Trump, who is smiling because the attorney general has told both of these federal lawyers, you have the power to declassify, you have the power to draw juries, to put juries together, you have the power to press charges, so on and so forth. And now we literally have CIA, FBI, NDSI, and other agencies, retired and active people, who are lawyering up, because what this maneuver that was announced does is it makes, okay, a criminal capital offense anybody in any of those organizations, FBI, CIA, it doesn't matter, okay, who knows something and doesn't tell it is now a criminal offense.
Okay, well, you might see a whole bunch of people all of a sudden sitting on stools here in the next couple of weeks, Roger, trying to save their own butts. I see that unfolding.
But everybody has to realize one thing, okay? And this is not an excuse. This is a fact. And we always have to deal with facts. We all want to see all of these people brought to justice. We want to see as many of them as we possibly can filling up jail cells. Actually, take all the nonviolent marijuana smokers that are in there for 10 years. Take them out to make room for these idiots who are really traitors to this country, okay? If we see something like this happening, that is going to change the entire presentation of America. And there will be hope going forward. If none of this happens, if it doesn't happen at all, if we continue on, if this is a burp, you know, and everything settles down and nothing happens, then I would tell you within 2 years, you will see a violent revolution in this country. You will see it.
Hmm.
But I happen to think that what the DOJ has and what Trump is permitting, okay, allowing them to do, is going to be an absolute show. Get the best popcorn you can and get a lot of it.
Yeah. I got to agree with you, Roger, because there is something going to go down, and I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but I got a pretty good idea, and I don't know, man. I really don't know. Right now, we're seeing things go on in America that has never happened before. We're seeing the House absolutely destroy what the Founding Fathers set down in this country. We're trying to destroy it.
And if it's that's the Democratic House. That's the Democrats in the House.
Yeah, okay? I'm talking about the Democrats. Yeah. I'm talking about the demo rats, I call them.
Everything they're doing is so far off of the legal path, it's insane. And if you stop to consider that every time up till this point, there hasn't been a lot of them, okay, that a president has been impeached, it has been something that has been shared by both the Democrats and the Republicans. Now, the Democrats are literally, okay, holding impeachment hearings without allowing anybody from the second party into any of these meetings. This in itself is tyranny. Huge. But hold on a second, okay? Because one of the people that was in there, okay, that came out, and I don't know if he's going to get into a lot of trouble with this. He probably could, but I don't think he really cared. Made it abundantly clear that he was being pressured into saying things about Trump that weren't true by those that were interviewing him.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has gone past any point of law right now, as far as I'm concerned in the States. What I'm seeing is just how can they get away with this, man?
It's a coup.
It's a coup. And how can they get away with it? How can this be allowed to carry on in America?
There is an answer for that, okay? And it goes like this, right?
I put that question to you.
Yeah. The answer to that question is this, okay? And this is also something Trump said a while back, which maybe it was a little too early to say it, but I did agree with him at the time, only hesitantly. But today I would agree with him wholeheartedly. If you step in and you take everybody out that did anything corrupt over the last couple of presidential administrations, we would have crickets chirping in Washington, D.C. It would literally cripple this government, and that cannot be allowed to happen. It has to be done in such a fashion that you peel the top layer off a little bit at a time, and you go down one layer each time, but it's done in a fashion where you can replace or have people standing by for those who will be removed. We're talking about, and I'm guesstimating, between 800 and 1,500 people. This is what they made room for in Gitmo originally, okay? Guantanamo Bay. So if that is the case, if you pull 1,500 key people out of the government, what happens? Things start to go wrong very quickly.
Well, you look at complete collapse of the government, Roger.
So,
I mean, the vacuum that it would create. Go ahead.
So, what has to be done is this has to be done in a series of indictments, a series of investigations, and this is what we're going to see. The problem with that is that there's no real way to avoid some sort of catastrophe from this, because when people look and see the top tier is going away, and then they look a couple of weeks later and they see those people right under the top tier are starting to go away. They know that their turn is inevitable. So what do they do at that point? Do they start to sabotage things? Do they steal things? Do they highlight out of the country? What happens at that point when they realize that the game is actually over? Okay, so there is no way to avoid any ill effects of draining the swamp. But if you drain it too fast, the ill effects can very well doom this country. It could collapse, as you said.
Yeah, it could. And is that part of the, you know, sometimes I ask myself, is that part of the plan?
I always gotta
sit out on the outside and look at things, you know, I do. Because, you know, there's always bigger things going on that a lot of us realize. And, you know, I look at this whole situation in the States right now, and it's scary. It really is, because we're walking in uncharted territory right now. Nothing like this has ever happened, I believe, in America before.
No, and you're saying, is it all part of the plan? All right, here again, we're talking about people who have the infinite resources of this planet. When it comes to money, these are the people that literally print the money. So if they want $1 trillion, they just print $1 trillion, okay? These people have ultimate decision on what happens on this planet. So what was your question, Barry? Say that one more time. Are you there?
I'm just, my brain is going a million. Well, you're right, Roger. I mean, when you control the money, you can control the population. And I've said this many times, if they really wanted to turn society upside down in 24 hours, all they have to do is collapse the dollar.
This is why, another reason why, and, you know, I'm not so sure, although I'm not willing to say he's not, but I'm not so sure how much they actually like him, this quote-unquote deep state, okay? Because if you take a look at all of these things, if you take a look what we just discussed, okay, Trump has already discussed taking the United States off the Federal Reserve and putting us on our own monetary system backed by the immense amount of resources under the ground in the United States. We have one of the most resource-rich plots of land on the planet. So he's already discussed that several times. Not only that, but we've got the gold, but we've got something so much more than everybody else. It's insane. And when I tell you what it is, you're not going to believe me at first until you do a little bit of research, because we're always fighting for oil from the East, the Middle East, those countries, you know, the Arabs, Saudi Arabia, and all their oil, okay? And if you consider that under the Southern Rockies, there is at least a trillion barrels, and some would say that's a very small portion, I'm thinking small, of what's actually there. It has never been touched. It has never been brought up from the ground because it is locked in shale. And when it was discovered, the process of retrieving oil from shale was very new and very expensive. Today, they can remove oil from shale almost as cheap as they just drilling a well into the ground. So we're looking at the United States, which has more oil than the combined reserves of every nation in the Middle East. Now, again, if we had to go off the Federal Reserve System, could we? Yeah, we actually could. And there was another president who not only wanted to do that, but put out an executive order stating that on such and such a date, all dollars would be backed by silver from the American Silver Reserve and no longer be Federal Reserve notes. He was assassinated several months later in Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
But now we've got another president who's saying this may very well be what we have to do. And you know what? He's right.
Well, you got to get him out of the Federal Reserve, man. I mean, come on. We know what the Federal Reserve is, Roger. And that would be a major step forward. And the day that he does that, you're going to see turmoil. But I've studied what you're talking about. And, you know, there's a lot of people that hate Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'd say to people, if Hillary Clinton was running the country right now, where would we be right now? And that, to me, is a scary, scary thought. And now that she's talking about coming out of the woodworks again, I just can't believe that a dog that's been beaten so many times would think about coming back into the race.
Well, do me a favor, please. You know, don't use the profanity on dogs, all right? They didn't do anything to deserve that. Okay, so when you, all right, but as far as Hillary goes, Hillary is also, yeah, she's talking about, oh, you know, maybe I should get up and run and beat Trump again.
Beat him again.
What she said, beat him again. Well, what don't you understand about the fact that you lost? What don't you understand about the fact that states that haven't gone to Republicans in decades or generations were so absolutely sickened by the thought of electing you that they went and did something they never thought they would do in their entire life. They voted for the orange man.
Yep. Yeah,
and now she's going to come out of the woodwork. If she even steps up and says for a half a second, okay, or a half a second after she says, I'm announcing my candidacy for presidency, you're going to see every single candidate, every single one of them, jump on her and beat her merciless.
Get out of here, Hillary. What part of no don't you understand? She thinks she's entitled, you know. That's her mentality.
She is.
She's entitled to a jail cell.
She's entitled to a cell. She's entitled to a 12-by-12 cell. Yep.
Well, she's still not there right now, Roger. Really makes me question a lot of things. But then I see the developments happening right now in the States, and I believe one day that she will be in shackles. If she isn't, then your country is lost.
She may not be, and I wouldn't agree with you on your last comment. And again, we're talking about what happens to a country when you start to pull corrupt leaders out, okay? If you consider that during the 8 years, and actually, I would tell you the last 16 years, and actually, I would tell you the last 24 years, the last three presidential, whatever you want to call them, okay? I'm talking about Clinton, I'm talking about Bush, and I'm talking about Obama, okay? You just need to focus for a second here, okay? All that you're talking about has been happening over that period of time. When the Clintons got into the White House the first time, they literally took over the Democratic Party. Kamala Harris, all of these people, okay, if they don't bow down and kiss her ring, what about the little girl from Hawaii, okay? She's actually the best-looking candidate, but I won't go there. She, as soon as she said something to embarrass Hillary, Hillary stands up and tells the whole world that she's a Russian asset. This is a major in the U.S. Army, has seen, you know, has been in combat several times, is a congresswoman for the state of Hawaii, one of the most trusted and honored people in her state, and Hillary says, yeah, she's a Russian agent. Are you nuts? Sad part, Barry, is she is nuts. Do you remember the shot of her getting onto the plane with the big crap stain on the back of her pants?
Yep.
She literally crapped her pants at one of the debates. Literally crapped her pants. You can't make this up.
They should have bleeped that one out, Roger, because that was pretty funny.
I said crapped. I didn't say a bad word, did I?
No. You're well okay. with the explanation you need.
But the whole thing here is we're looking at a country today that is a joke to the rest of the world. People don't look at the United States today and say, my God, you know, I'm going to pick up and I'm going to go there and I'm going to start a new life and I'm going to make things of myself because that's America. I spent 20 years out of this country between 70 and 80% of every year. I worked for the military-industrial complex. I worked for Raytheon. And who did I work for? I contracted straight out to the DOD. You go all around the planet and you take a look, okay? Take a look. When I first started doing this, which was 30 years ago, because I haven't done it for 10 years now, 30 years ago, everybody, every country I went to, you're an American. And they were so happy to see you, pat you on the back, want to know everything about America. Ooh, ah, try that today. We're not only not sought after, we're not liked. And in some cases, we're not wanted around. Mm. And these aren't the conservatives that are rising up in England. These aren't the conservatives that are rising up in Germany and Italy and Tripoli and all these other places. No, these are the liberals because they understand until people like you and me go away, Barry, okay, they can't conquer the planet. They can't. And when you ask me, why is so much going on in America? Why are we the sickest nation? Why are we in such political turmoil? Why is our education system failing to the point where we don't even compete? We can't even compete with first world nations in our education system anymore. Our children are some of the dumbest children on the planet. Gee, God, massive vaccinations, fluoride, and you know, I could go on and on and on. The point here is, all of this is on plan. The biggest disruption to that plan right now is the orange man in Washington, D.C. He is making their lives miserable. But listen to what I'm about to say about that. Anybody who believes that Trump can do this by himself is an idiot. He'd have been dead a long time ago. There is a revolution going on this planet right now. And it is not between one society and another. It's not between one nation and another. It's not between one race and another. It is between two factions of what we so, I don't know, we call the elite. Trump is in one faction, okay? And your bleeding heart liberals and those like Soros are in the other faction. What we are seeing is a global civil war. But what you need to understand is they don't use guns. They use us. And that's what you're seeing. We are the pawns being used to fight a war between the two factions that rule humanity.
How they manipulate society, Roger? They're the masters at it.
How do they manipulate society?
I'm saying they're masters at manipulating society.
Yeah, but if you stop and consider, when you said that threw that question in my mind, how do we manipulate society? I just want to be able to give everybody the perfect example so you understand everything I explained about nudging huge societies to turn them, not making them turn 90-degree turns. We have the perfect example, one that we all remember unless you're under 20 years old, okay? You're under 20, you probably don't remember, and that's 9/11. 9/11 totally changed the Western world. 9/11 gave us the Patriot Act. 9/11 gave us, and I could go on, and these, we are told by a president, and anybody wants to can go listen to the George Bush, speeches, when he states you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. In other words, you will do what we say, and we, and this is another one from Bush, okay, paraphrasing, not word for word, but paraphrasing, okay, they hate us for our freedom, they hate us for our liberty, so we're going to have to curtail that just a little bit to protect you. The Patriot Act and the NDAA are so, the Patriot Act is nothing about patriots, nothing. It is one of the most tyrannical pieces of legislation ever passed in the United States, and it absolutely destroyed a big chunk of our liberties, including the right not having unreasonable search and seizure, and so on and so forth. We are literally watching all of our rights being chipped away under the auspice of exactly the question we just answered. The question was, okay, give me an example. What do you mean by how do you change a society? 9/11.
Exactly what.
Perfect.
Yeah, 9/11 was a trigger point. Roger, Homeland Security, the TSA, the Patriot Act. It all came across as a way to protect society. They always use the same agenda, and society swallows it up. And you're right. Slowly but surely, our rights are being chipped away. We're seeing the same thing happen up here. We're seeing the same thing happen around the globe right now. It doesn't matter which country you look at.
It's the
same agenda with a different face.
Yep. And if you stop to consider, okay, as your rights go away, are you any safer? More terrorist attacks in England since they restricted a lot of their rights to hopefully diminish the attacks they were having. They've almost doubled. In the United States, probably about a 15% increase after the NDAA and the Patriot Act, okay? And we are seeing probably across the planet more, not less, terrorist attacks. But what most people don't understand is, hey, look, the news today, Trump had the ISIS leader killed. Trump had the ISIS leader killed. It's in the headlines, okay? It's on the Liberty Beacon. Go take a look. Read the article. Big picture of it, okay? Except one thing, right? Anybody here who thinks that the CIA is on Trump's side? No. Trump is on one side. Remember, I told you there's two sides of this faction, and the CIA is on the other side. Okay, if you stop to consider all of what's going on here, all of these wars, and who invented, propped up, and funded ISIS, most of that came from the CIA. Of course, there was MI6 in there, was a little bit from the Australians, a little bit from the German government. But the point is, a big deal was made out of bumping off, finally, the guy who runs ISIS. Except, I don't think he's dead. They're probably resting away somewhere where he can live comfortably for the rest of his life. And I would say that he was probably a CIA asset.
They probably put him on the same island as Gerald Epstein there.
Mr. Epstein.
Let him live happily ever after.
Anybody who believes that Mr. Epstein, okay, would have been far too stupid to make sure that he had information put away in the case of his disappearance or death that would be released, you know he does. They're not going to kill him. It ain't going to happen. I don't think he's dead.
I don't think so either. Nope. I don't think so at all. But he was, there was a lot going to come out from him, and of course he's been put silenced and put away. So I'm sure there was something going on behind the background there, but we'll never know for sure.
You and I actually did a show on this probably about 2 years ago, I think, where we discussed pedophilia as a weapon or as a tool for these intelligence agencies to collect people that they can use. And most of you would be familiar with the type of scenario I'm going to describe here. You know, you've got somebody who may be able to do something for you. They don't know it, but you don't think they're going to do it willingly. So what do you do? I don't know, you put a prostitute in front of them and you don't charge anything or blah, blah, or whatever, and you film it.
Yeah.
This all started with Hoover, okay? This all started with the FBI way back when, and the FBI did this, and they had massive files on most of our congressmen, our senators, and people who worked for the president. If you take a look at what's going on today, the CIA is losing all its credibility. The FBI has just about lost all of its credibility. And any I don't know, intelligence agency outside of the United States that wishes to hold on to their credibility will think twice about doing anything to help the United States anymore. How much further is this tyranny going to extend before we say we've had enough of this crap?
I think the American people are getting to that point, Roger.
We are.
What I can see. Yeah, I can see a real change in public attitude, and I've seen the same thing up in here in Canada. Yep. We're facing a fascist dictator here under the disguise of democracy that our country is in so much trouble. But really, we're just trying to catch up with the rest of the world right now. We're a few years behind Europe, but we're getting there.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems that we have is that people constantly talk about democracy when they talk about the United States. There are a lot of democracies on this planet, but everybody who calls the American political system a democracy is wrong. As a matter of fact, our founders did everything they possibly could to avoid a democracy. Now, I'm going to explain to you why the word democracy is used properly in the United States. But anybody who says that we live in a democracy is an idiot or didn't listen in school at all. We live in a constitutional republic. In a democracy would be 100 people, and if 51 thought it was good to kill somebody in the other 49, they can do it because that's the majority. That's democracy, okay? We live in a constitutional republic where the rights and the safety of the individual is paramount, not the majority. So, where does the word democracy fit in? Because we have a democratic form of government, meaning we allow the people by volume, by number, to elect their leaders. We do not have a democratic form of government, yet that's another form of tyranny that's being spread in this country. When you teach all of our children that we have a democracy, then the thought and the advantage of a constitutional republic disappears from the mind, never to be seen again.
And that's what's been programmed into our children right now, folks, as we talked.
Eradicating programmed ignorance is the name, that is the entire mission statement of the Liberty Beacon Project. Eradicating programmed ignorance. 90%, well, about 85% of what we've discussed today, and Barry has so aptly stated, is programmed ignorance.
It's going to be really hard to deprogram people that have been programmed all their life, Roger. It's a monumental task, but we're getting
there. You know what Luca calls it? As a matter of fact, he started a new show called this. He used to have a show called this. He's restarting. He calls this learning to unlearn. Learn to unlearn. You have to learn to unlearn the crap you've been told.
Absolutely. And that's a monumental test because, boy, do we get people's defense mechanisms standing up when we even start touching on subjects like this with people.
Could you imagine if you took callers for this show, for this hour?
Well, the hour is just about gone. We've got about 5 minutes left now, and boy, it goes by quick when I get you on.
I'm going to have to jump out about 2 or 3 minutes early because, believe it or not, Barry, I just found another one.
Well,
so
I hope they're paying you
for the hour. I'm going to dive, okay?
Well, I hope they're paying you as much as we do to get you on here, Roger. Yeah, right.
If you ever paid me anything, I would turn around and walk away with hurt feelings.
I'm just trying to be funny, Roger. You know that. We've done multiple shows over the years, and I'd say that 90% of stuff that we talk about, we agree on. We're always going to disagree on a few minor points, but we never let that get between talking about what's really important.
Yeah, we do disagree on a few things, like you think you're better looking than I am, and I think you're full of crap.
Yeah, well, I'm older than you are, and you don't want to believe that, you know, and you're supposed to respect your elders, and we haven't heard that come out yet. You know, I am 14 days older than you, Roger.
Yes,
so
you are 14 days older than me.
I filled up more diapers than you did before you did, I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways. We know we're both Leos, and sometimes yes. That's good for conversations, and sometimes yes. You know, Leos tend to conflict with each other because we're both kind of a certain nature. But boy, I'll tell you, over the years, I've enjoyed my conversations with you immensely, and I've learned a lot talking with you, and I've vetted a lot of the information that you've shared, and I've never been able to disprove anything that you've shared. So kudos to you, and thanks for coming in today. And maybe in the last couple of minutes here, you can share where people can find you, and then I'll let you sneak away.
All right, look, it is the Liberty Beacon Project. The main website is thelibertybeacon.com. There are a bunch of other websites, but when you go to the Liberty Beacon right up at the top, you're going to see this little banner at the top that tells you what some of the other websites are, like the one we've got right outside of Paris, and the website we've got right outside of London, and the website we've got out right outside of Sydney. Yeah, these are real. Okay. So, it's not so much about the Liberty Beacon as it is about, please tell me you took something away from the show. If you did, then I and Barry have served an hour very, very well. And thank you for giving me a platform, Barry, and I've got to run, my friend.
Okay, Roger, well, thanks again, and I'll have you back on again, you know that, in the near future. Thanks again for joining me today, bud.
Have a good night. Bye.
And Stephen, is there anything you'd like to say before we shut out the show? I know you've been sitting there quietly listening to the conversation. Do you want to add a comment?
No, you do. Not really. I just
no.
Well, no. I don't really believe in Trump, and I don't really believe in the political system. I think it's all part of the movie, and I think we got nothing but a society war coming to America and to the world, for that fact. Well, just like Roger mentioned, it's been a 240 some odd year agenda. It's really no accident that communism stuck up its nasty little head in the, you know, the 1840s, but the concept does go back probably 70, 80 years before that. They had to have a way to divide the people. And, you know, you got communism, the red communism, which is the left, and the fascist Nazi right. So and it's also no accident that, both of them pretty much started around the same time, 1870s. And that's right around the same time that the technological advances started coming. Radio, TV, all of that stuff started. That was thought of in the 1870s. And it took them about 30, 40 years to get things really rolling on the technological side, and you know, it was right around the turn of the 20th century when they started both movements.
Yeah, that would be a conversation for an hour by itself, Steve. So
certainly
we'll save that for another day. But yeah, good points made. Well, thanks, folks. It's the end of the show, and I will be back next week. I have Dr. Salim Mansour, professor at the University of Western Ontario, joining me next week, and I have Mr. Alex Newman joining me, a journalist who I tried to get in for an hour a couple weeks or last week and only had him in for a few minutes. They will both join me next week, so I'm looking forward to the show. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks again to Steve for producing my show, and thanks for the people that have spent their time today listening to what we have to say. I appreciate your attention, and we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks for joining. God bless you all and have a great week. Bye for now.